evangelism. What is evangelism? To many people, it seems to be the territory of the pastor and the elders and the leaders to go out and tell others. Dear friends, may I suggest to you to consider it is the blessed privilege of all those who have saved the saving grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that? Do you understand what is evangelism? If I can put it very simply, you have a problem, maybe a disease, a sickness, and some doctor has healed you. Firstly, you are very grateful. And it is normal for you to go and tell others who suffer from the same disease. In that way, many patients come back to you to thank you and to say how grateful they are and bring other patients to see the same doctor. Do you know that? Are you grateful? Are you happy? Are you thankful to God for saving you? If so, let me ask you, how many people have you told? Have you told others? One young girl in our church was in school and found there was another young girl who had newly come from overseas. So she just invited her, "Will you come to our church?" She did, she came. Because the inviting was done so in such a friendly way, she could not refuse. What is evangelism? What is it? Do you understand? Do you practice it? Are you grateful? I speak as a doctor, and some 30-odd years ago, I happened to have treated a patient, and all my patients are women, because I'm a gynecologist, and I only treat women. I happened to visit her at the home, and I saw three young children, maybe 8 and 10 and 12, around there. And I said to the mother, my patient, "What do your children do on Sundays?" "Nothing. They just play around in the house." I said, "Would you mind if I come by and take them to our Sunday school, which is not far from your home? They live in somewhere near Stevens Road, and our church was at that time in Gilstead Road, not far away." So they came. After that, I had left Life Church. And I caught up with them some 30, 40 years later. Of those children I brought to Sunday school, there were, by now, nearly 10 believers. Just because someone cared to speak a word to them. "Would you like to come to Sunday school?" And at Sunday school, they learn the Word of God is a wonderful weapon, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the Word of God tells us. Yes. And those children believed and told their parents. You know, by now, at least 10 people have come to believe from that family, father, mother. Of the three young children, one became medical doctor, also a deacon and later became an elder of the church. And I caught up with him in London, some 30 years after the event. I was so happy to see him, because he came to our church in London and we invited him to be a deacon and later to be an elder. Out of that family, he was saved. He married a Christian girl and they have three children, all Christians. The father and the mother both believed, plus the other family members, totaling at least 10. Is it worth our being witnesses and telling others about Jesus? Please turn to your Bible. The Word of God is in John's Gospel, chapter 16. I want to tell you very frankly how it is our duty, your duty as well as my duty and privilege, and it is a joyous duty to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may think, why should I do it? Why? Yes, if you know the reason, you will surely want to do it. Jesus Christ had an agenda. God has a plan through him. How the world will be converted. Do you know? When Jesus ascended to heaven and left behind the disciples, how many disciples and believers were there? Known and named, altogether 11. Do you remember there were 12 disciples? 12 disciples and one who was a traitor. You know the traitor was called Judas? Okay, he hanged himself and disposed of himself. And his soul is in hell. He's paying his penalty for betraying the Savior. Out of the others came 11. Added one more. Who is it? The name you know. Yes. One who was very zealous for the Jewish religion, not knowing Jesus Christ. He thought that Jesus has been crucified, died, gone for good, until something happened, until God intervened in his life. Maybe God is intervening in your life. Maybe God is speaking to you. Why is it you have no thought, no care whatsoever in speaking a word for me? All right, who am I referring to? The one who was enemy of the gospel, and he thought that by promoting the Jewish religion and hunting down Christian believers to catch them, condemn them, bring them back to Jerusalem and to face punishment of the worst kind. He thought that was the best thing he could do, to destroy the Christian religion. When the head and the founder was Jesus Christ, dead and gone, crucified as a criminal, condemned by the religious leaders. Until where? You all know this story, and it may speak to you. I pray that it speaks to you. On the road to Damascus, it is still a city you can identify and locate today in the country of Syria. This man met God and the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Who was he? Do you know him? Of course. I'm telling you an old story. Saul of Tarsus thought, armed with letters of authority, he was a great man, authorized by the chief priest and the council to go to Syria, to the capital city of Damascus, and there round up as many as he could find of Christians, take them back to Jerusalem and have them sentenced, whatever condition, whatever sentence, they will be sentenced. Until he came to the Damascus Road. So some of you, you need such an experience. Yes, you thought Jesus, who cares about Jesus? Who cares? After all, he's gone. Do you know that today many in the church do not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Then, if so, what's the point of having witnesses, having evangelism because of Jesus, or telling others about somebody who's dead and gone? Do you know that Jesus was dead for your sins and mine? But God raised him from the dead. And on that day, Saul of Tarsus was shocked. Who is this Jesus? He is shining on me a terrible bright light from heaven. And Saul was thrown down to the ground. Then he came to his senses. Who are you, Lord? He realized when he had fallen down that it was Jesus, the one who was persecuting, speaking to him. From that day onwards, he received his commission from Jesus. You are specially chosen to be a witness, to go and evangelize the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews. More important that you go and tell them that is his special appointment. I say, dear friends, our special appointment today is to know we are called to be witnesses, to be messengers of good news. Do you know that is the function of a witness for the Lord Jesus? Evangelism, what is it? It is any effort which is exerted in order that someone who hears and receives the message will know we are all condemned and there is one Savior who saves us out of condemnation into eternal life, and for eternal life a place in the heavenly home. That's what we all have, having believed in Jesus Christ. This is evangelism. Now, take the green sheet. And firstly, consider, when Jesus had died and resurrected, how many believers were registered under him? How many? In all the world, 11. How can the gospel advance? Now read the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's gospel, chapter 28. verses 18 to 20, Matthew's Gospel. This record is for all of us. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "Who is the them?" All the disciples gathered. "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Now this is important. We are witnessing as servants of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what is so special about Jesus Christ? Do you know? Do you know? You say, "Well, I'm a member of Blessed Hope Church, and I think it's quite good to follow Jesus Christ." Dear friends, it is not quite good. It is the only Savior you have for this life and the next life. It is your only hope of eternal life. Do you know that death is not the end of this life, but we have a place where you will live forever with the joy of Jesus given to you and the blessing of God? This Jesus speaks to you today. As he came to the disciples, all that he said to them, verse 18, "You think I was dead?" Did the disciples believe that Jesus was alive? Okay. Those who saw him first all believed, because they saw with their eyes. How about those who did not see him? How about Thomas? Thomas says, "No, you all are telling me some nonsense. I don't believe it. Except I see him and I touch him and see the nail scars in his hands and the chest wound, I will never believe." 7 days later, Jesus showed himself. Now, the same Jesus speaks to you. What does he say? "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Dear friends, you ask me, what advantage is there to be a Christian? I say, your becoming and being a member of this church, you are joined to a select group of people who receive this word from Jesus Christ. All power, verse 18. Read it for yourself. All power means all power. It's not some power. It's not most power. But it is all power. He is the only one, the Lord Jesus, who has power over life and death and power over your future. He says, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come." That is why we in this church are so keen that our members all understand and prepare and be ready for that great day when Jesus will come again. Until then, verse 19 is given to all of us. To all of us. Given to you. Do you know this? "Go ye therefore, teach all nations." Now you say, "What shall I do? I don't know where to go, how to tell all nations." This is it. Where do you go? Who do you tell? About what do you tell? I was in that condition until I heard Dr. John Sung. Now, John Sung is special to all of us because in 1935, that is some 80 years ago, he came and he preached the gospel, and I believe the gospel he preached. And he says, "Those of you who want to be servants of God, raise your hands." The same challenge comes to you. I raise my hand. He says, "Now don't forget, let's come to the room and pray." He prayed for me, I believe. 30 years later, after that day, 30 years exactly after 1968, I resigned my post as head of the university department in Kandang Kerbau, or KK Hospital, in order to be a servant of God. What for? To tell all nations. I say, how can you tell nations? How can you tell anyone else about Jesus Christ? Well, do you know how? The one who calls you knows. He will send you to where you do not know. I was preaching the gospel one day, and then after the service, one man from among the congregation came straight to me and said, in Cantonese, Toh Yisang, I'm going to settle in Australia, in Perth, Australia. When I settle there and have a house, will you come and start the gospel in my house, build a church? I say, how come? You can't speak English, and you can emigrate to Australia. Oh, he says, I worked in Christmas Island for 15 years. I get the right to emigrate. Will you come? I say, of course. If you will start a house, build a house and make it your home, I will come. 5 months later, I went and we started a church. The church has given birth to 4 other churches. Together with that church, there are 5 churches, all built up because I went and told them, Jesus Christ is true. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again. And in Him, you have the forgiveness of sins. It's simple, as simple as that. But, you know, people who are convicted of their sins through the work of the Holy Spirit, when they hear that gospel message, they are so happy and relieved of their sadness and their sorrow, because they know they are under condemnation. Then now they have hope. They came and believed. Our church in Perth has given birth to 4 other churches. Altogether, there are 5 now. All preaching the gospel from one person has become 5 churches. At least there will be 500 people who believe on the gospel. Dear friends, we are talking of evangelism. That is evangelism. Evangelism is simply one to tell another tell many, and all coming to hear the gospel. That gospel is the... What is the gospel? What is the evangelism? Telling people about the good news. That is gospel. You would ask me, what is the gospel? What is it? What good news? The good news is that you have a home in heaven. Ah, this is the best news. Jesus, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore, I say to all of you, why is it there are so many empty chairs? Why? Are you not concerned? The Lord Jesus will ask you, why is it you came to this church? Have you brought anyone else to come to hear the gospel? Answer is up to you. It's up to you. You say, well, I'm shy. I have no friends. I say, it's very sad if you have no friends. There must be something wrong with a person who has no friends at all. I say, we all have friends. Only you pretend you do not have friends. And therefore, you are very shameful of the fact that I have no friends. Therefore, I dare not go and talk to anyone. Is there anyone in that situation? Pray that the Lord will speak to you. What does He say to you? Verse 19. These are His words, not my words. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Who says that? Who says it? To whom? Jesus speaks to you, dear friends. This message is addressed to all believers. Now, look at my little paper, the outline. The outline is here. I've given you three eras. Era of the Son of Man. Number two, era of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And number three, era of the King, Jesus Christ. Do you understand this? Let me explain very quickly and very briefly, because our time is up. Era of the Son of Man. Who is who? What does it mean? Era of the Son of Man is the years when Jesus Christ was preaching and working in the Holy Land. Between the years when he was first active in the gospel until they crucified him and he was resurrected. Just about maybe 3.5 years. The era of the Son of Man. During that time, he gathered only 12 apostles, of which one was a traitor. You know that? Of course, you all know the story. One was a very sad man. He took his own life. He committed suicide by hanging himself, and he was gone. So to the 11, Jesus spoke this message exactly as recorded here. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and tell all nations. I say, dear friends, we are now in that talking of the era of the Son of Man. And Jesus comes and says, go therefore, be my witnesses. Are you listening? This is the challenge today. Why did I come here to talk to you about the challenge? Because this is necessary, because it brings blessing to those who obey. When you go and people obey and believe the gospel, you have a blessing from God. Do you know that? All right. Now, era of the Holy Spirit. When did the era of the Holy Spirit begin? Do you know? Do you know? When? Era of the Son of Man was past. When the Son of Man ascended to heaven, and Jesus is about to ascend to heaven at this time. Once Jesus ascends to heaven, he's no longer on earth. That becomes the era of the Holy Spirit. The active person on earth at that time was Holy Spirit. How do we know? This was because from that time, 11 apostles became changed persons, and they preached with power, and with power the people were saved. How many did they save at the first preaching? How many? Turn to Acts of the Apostle. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Please see there. You say, I'm so shy. I have no power. Dear friends, power does not come by your resolution. Power comes by the obedience, your obedience. When you go, Jesus Christ gives you the power. The Holy Spirit comes on you and you have power. on the first day of the preaching by whom? By Peter. Who was Peter? He denied the Lord 3 times. Do you know that on the night of his betrayal, when Jesus was condemned and went to the cross, Peter said, "I don't know him." Oh dear, please, look for somebody else. This man, I don't know him. But on the day of Pentecost, what did he do? He stood up against the powers that be. They were all there. They heard him, but they dare not touch him because he had power. On that day, verse 41 says, 3,000 people were converted. 3,000. Whereas in 3 years, Jesus gathered 11 disciples. In this preaching, one session alone, 3,000 believed. And the next chapter, 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. 4:4, please see. Another 5,000 altogether in 2 preaching sessions. How many were saved? How many? 3,000 and 5,000. 8,000. Oh, dear friends, don't be afraid. Don't say witnessing evangelism is not my cup of tea. I'm a very shy person. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will go and be witness, and God will bless that witness. As at Pentecost, 3,000 the first time, 5,000 the next time, 8,000. So this is under the era of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last time is era of the King. This is what we are all looking forward to. What is it we are looking forward to? The coming of Jesus. When Jesus comes, you will be the happiest person if you serve him now. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. Suddenly you hear the trumpet sound and Jesus Christ comes with the armies on the heaven. If you don't believe, turn to chapters 20, 21, 22. And you read how the Lord Jesus returns from heaven. Some of you look a bit doubtful. All right. We will turn to Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 19 and 20. Chapter 19 and 20. All right. 19. Verse 11. I saw heaven open and heard, and behold, a white horse, and who was sitting upon him was called Faithful and True. Who is faithful and true? Only one person, and he's returning to heaven. Okay, you will be there. You will see him, and you will rejoice. Revelation 19, verse 11 and 12. I saw heaven open, and he who sat on the white horse was called Faithful and True. And he was clothed, verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture. His clothes were dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And all the armies on heaven, you will be on that, included in that army, coming down from heaven in great power, in might and glory, to the great satisfaction of all the believers. You will be very happy then. If you are a witness today, witnessing and busy with evangelism for Jesus. So that is one. Verse 20, chapter 21. I saw new heaven and a new earth. All right, that's enough. Do you know all this is prepared for prepared people? For people who serve the Lord Jesus Christ today. We will close with Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is speaking to you, dear friends. If you have never considered, consider now how you can be a servant of God, a witness and an evangelizer, evangelist, someone who will go and tell others. Are you afraid of telling a young person, a schoolgirl? No, it may be your own daughter's friend. And because you are encouraging to your children, go therefore, verse 19 and 20, go therefore, don't be shy, don't be afraid, go therefore and teach all nations, inviting them to come to the Sunday school, invite them to come and hear the gospel, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I commanded thee, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Look at this summary sheet. God has a plan. God has a plan. Jesus comes to earth, that is the era of the Son of Man. The era of the Son of Man is when Jesus was active on earth. Number two, era of the Holy Spirit is when Jesus has gone up to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes down. You know how Holy Spirit worked? First time they preached, 3,000 believed. That was the day of Pentecost. Second time they preached, 5,000 believed. You will be blessed with that kind of result. Speaking, preaching, tracting, inviting others to the meetings, helping with transportation, possibly, but most important, you must live a Christian life. Yet people say, it's not what you say, but what you do. It's not how you preach, but how you live. How do you live? You know yourself. I don't know. So, live a Christian life is the fifth point in evangelism. So, this is in the era God has a plan. The era of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit takes control of everything. Now, when Jesus returns, and this is what we all are looking for, what is it we are looking for? Jesus' return. The second coming is what we are looking for. Believe on the Lord Jesus. When He comes, He will acknowledge you. He will bless you. And it will be worth your while. Under the King, Jesus reigns. Forever and ever and ever, He reigns. And you will reign with Him. Amen. This is why we must be active in evangelism. Because God has a plan, and God's plan includes all witnesses, all who have been saved. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, bless all those who have heard this plan of God, that when Jesus comes, all who are faithfully serving Him will be blessed in a great and mighty way. Blessed Hope, Bible Presbyterian Church, that this blessed hope that they have will bear fruit in the day to come. And all those who belong here will go and bring their friends to hear the blessed hope of Jesus Christ return. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.